Amen. We thank the good Lord for letting us be here today. And we thank him for showing up and showing off. Amen. Amen. We thank. I like to thank God for when other people say they get blessed.
Yeah.
I like to hear about the saints getting blessed. Amen. So many times we get bad news, we don't get good news. If you get good news, you ought to say thank you.
Thank you today, Lord.
Hallelujah. You ought to rejoice when you see your brothers and sisters get blessed. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. Oh, yes.
Amen. Because you know what? One day it'll be your turn to come and get a testimony about the blessing. Right. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I thank him every time I get to get up another day and keep on pressing on with a reasonable portion of health and strength. I used to hear the old folks saying that reasonable portion. They're like, well, what they talking about a reasonable portion? You keep on living, you find out you got a reasonable portion. Amen. Ain't bad as it could be. Amen. As I thank God for as well as it is, as I hear him say that too. Amen. Makes a lot of good sense to me. Amen. So you know, those of you who've been sojourning with us over the past so often here, particularly this month, this is, as we mentioned, the fifth Sunday in this new year, 2016. And so we've been talking about some things that have been kind of systematic. If you've been here, and even if you haven't, hopefully you've been connecting with us online if you haven't been able to be here. And that's okay. That's why we make the online presentation of the Word available for those of you who have access. And those who don't, we're going to be working on a way to figure out a way you can have it, some kind of way, because we like to be able to have you hear the Word even if you're not able to be in the sanctuary, because sometimes the weather's bad and sometimes people can't make it. We understand that, but so that's why we put the Word online, and we try to do that to give you other ways to check up and keep up to date on what's being taught at the church, because we believe every lesson is an important lesson, and we love to see your faces, of course, when you're here. It's always a blessing to me to look up and see all of you, the ones who are able to be here, and when you're not here, you know you're on my prayer list. Because I pray for each and every one of you, and I try to keep in touch with you, you know that. So that's one of the benefits of a smaller size congregation, is that you can have a little bit more close contact with the pastor. And some churches so big, they probably have to have an appointment to see the pastor. We haven't gotten that far, and I hope I don't get that far. And if I do, I'll try to make sure I have some other people to help make sure we take care of everything you need. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you can know right now in the circumstances we're in that you are definitely a part of my personal prayers. My wife and I, we pray for you. Amen. Throughout the week. And having said that, just to bring us to where we are, today this lesson is the final lesson in our installments. We've been talking about some things. I thought that these things will help you get off on a good foot in the new year to get you moving in the right direction.
Yes.
And we've seen God. God has already shown up.
Oh,
if you've been paying
any
attention, see, stuff like what Dr. Adams went through, we didn't even really know about that last year. And it kind of looked like came up suddenly, you know.
Yes.
And then God already dealt with it. And
then
now we're on the back side of it looking for another blessing. You see?
Yes.
And just like Brother Ray, that thing that was going on there, that's been happening for years. And then suddenly, boom, God's mercy kicked in. And it's all right. And so you don't know. God got some stuff coming for all of us.
Yes, he does.
He's been working on stuff you don't know. I mean, it's, he's over there working on it. You minding your business. So that's why you need to try to learn some things about how to keep a good attitude about where you are.
Amen.
Because God said, I will never leave
you
nor forsake you.
Yes.
See, he said, I am with you always.
Always.
See, so when you think you're over there feeling, having a little pity party and stuff don't look like it's going the way I like and all that, you need to know God is in the background working on something.
Yes.
He's doing it his way. It might not be my way. It might not be your way.
Right.
But he's doing it his way.
Yes.
And his way is better than mine. He said his thoughts are not my thoughts.
Yes.
Neither are his ways my ways. He said, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I got stuff going on you can't even imagine. But I'm always working on your behalf. That's the one thing you can know. And so that's what these lessons have kind of been about, is getting us where we're seated in a solid mindset about who God is and what he is doing in our lives. Realize he's in your life every second. God says, I'll never leave you. How often is never? See what I'm saying?
Yes.
That means I'm in there. Even when it looked like you wondering, oh God, I'm going through this by myself.
He's there.
He's there. He says,
yes,
I'm with
he
you.
Is.
Lo, I am with you always.
My Lord.
Even to the end of the world. And think about this one. I'm just going to put this in. It's not even on my notes here. But think about what he did in order to do that for you. Jesus had to look around and say, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
The only son. He was the only one that could be forsaken. And God can turn away and he could still hang on. Why? Because he was the perfect one.
Yes, he was.
That one who had no sin.
Yes.
And that was real. That was the time when Jesus called him. He didn't call him Father right at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my God. Because
yes.
He was God, and God had turned his back and allowed his son to hang and suffer.
My Lord.
And he did that for you and me. To show you this is how much I love you.
Yes.
That
yes.
I'm going to forsake him.
Yes.
And he's the only one can take it. Couldn't nobody else take it but him.
Wow.
And he's taking it, but it was real. Was not some fantasy or anything. He was really forsaken
yes.
by God. And he was forsaken for me and for you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And he did that so I don't have to forsake you. You know, if it was up to me and based on my record, my track record, y'all would be in trouble. Let me tell you now. If it had to do with how righteous your pastor is by himself, oh, no. If he forsook me, that would be a terrible thing.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you now. But he forsook Jesus so he could accept me and you. So think about that.
Wow.
That's how much it costs God.
Wow.
I'm sure that had to be one of the most, not in God is eternal, but I can just, in my own mind, I wonder, you know, God, he reckons with time. And here it was, his son was in time. It took taking off his equality
yes.
with the Father just in order to do the work you and I needed. And he was doing it for God because God loved you that much. That's what John 3:16 says.
Yes.
He so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And one point I always like to make on that, and we'll be coming up to that season soon, but it crosses my mind all the time, is God loved you and he couldn't save us if somebody didn't pay our bill.
Yes, that's right.
And so he paid it for us by giving his own son as a ransom for our sin. See, that's the only way it could be paid. A holy God must be satisfied.
Yes.
I can't satisfy him. You can't satisfy him. You know, nobody prancing around down here sprinkling water and incense, they can't satisfy him.
No way.
Because their works are tainted.
Yes.
And defective.
Yes.
And full of sin.
Yes.
It took a perfect sinless one to satisfy the Father.
Jeez.
Only one ever did that. And guess what? He did it entirely and completely
yes.
by himself. That's what we talked about last week, Colossians 2:10, that you are complete in him. So don't let somebody try to steal your joy. Well, you know, you just speaking no tongues, Ryan, so you ain't right. You know, it ain't got nothing to do with your tongues.
That's right.
You don't even have to have a tongue. Your tongue can be missing out your mouth. And he can save you. See? So it has nothing to do with it. Don't let somebody sell you a bill of goods.
Yes.
Jesus did everything you and I need.
Everything.
And you know what we need, and this brings us to our lesson today. I'm going to move on because I know Brother Ray is preparing some dinners for us. So we're going to be ready for them dinners and we enjoy them together after this service. But think about this now. What we need, what is it that we need to access what God has for us? You know what? We can reduce it to one word, and that word is faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Yes.
Now, if you want God to be pleased with you without faith,
yes,
it is impossible.
That's right.
Hebrews says to please him. For those who come to God, that's who we say we are. We're in church. We're coming to God. We want to worship you.
Yes.
He says those who come to God must.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a must. You want to talk about what you must do?
Yes.
What must I do to be saved? Somebody said. Those who come to God must believe that he is.
Yes.
That means he exists.
Yes.
We don't wonder is he there. We believe that he is. And not only do we believe that he is, but that he is a rewarder.
Yes.
Of the ones who diligently seek him.
My Lord.
See?
Yes.
And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Because what is faith? Hebrews 11 tells us that, right?
Yes.
Faith is the substance. It says now faith yes. is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See? And so that's it. It is the substance. That means, yes. think about what is substance. Substance is something I can touch that's tangible, that's real. And it's evidence.
Yes.
You know what? What is evidence? When you go in a court of law, they lay the knife or the pistol up there and say, Judge, Exhibit 1, this is evidence.
Yes.
Got his fingerprints on
yes.
it. He did it.
Yes.
He was there and was found at the scene of the crime. That's evidence.
That's evidence.
We know you were there because it's got your handprints on there,
Douglas.
DNA.
I see your DNA is yep. on this knife. See, that's evidence. In other words, yes. this connects you to the scene. So that's what evidence is. What is it that connects you to God?
Right.
It's your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is real, tangible, something that I possess,
yes.
that is a part of me,
yes.
that's directed toward God. See?
Yes.
So this is what we're talking about. So I said, okay, if faith is that thing that we need, then today we need to talk about, as we complete this course of lessons, how about some spiritual tools for building your faith?
Amen.
What can I do to build up my faith? Is there anything I can do to make me have more faith? Is there any way that I can have a stronger faith and believe in God even more? You know, faith can be built, Jude said, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, he says in Jude verse 20. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God.
Yes.
See? So that's something we do. He told the church, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. See, what makes the faith holy is that it comes from a holy God.
Yes.
God has given you and me a way to believe and know that we have been accepted. You know how he did it? He gave his son. He put his son in the middle of history. Brought him through 42 generations from Abraham.
Yes.
All the way up to King David.
Yes.
And from King David all the way till they were deported into Babylon. From the deportation all the way up to the birth of his son.
Yes.
Three equal sets of 14 according to Matthew 1:17.
My Lord.
He brought his son through the flesh with a remnant of people going on through all those times from the promise to Abraham.
Yes.
Clear on up to the birth of Jesus Christ. And then he wrapped the world around Christ. That's what we see when we see that 2016.
Yeah.
2016 years since he did this.
Yes.
See, and that's no myth. That's a fact. God put some tangible
Amen.
Evidence all around you so you can know that Jesus is the Lord. All by himself. Oh, we got a lot of folk telling us they're the Lord, but you didn't get the world wrapped around you. The world is wrapped around Jesus Christ
yes,
in time. Every birth certificate, every document, every tombstone has got a number based on his birth. So don't let the smooth taste fool you, they say.
All right.
What these crazy folks talking about, they got something for you and how you can be right with God. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Oh, no. No, you don't.
Yes.
No, you don't. Don't fool yourself with something like that. See? Don't let that trick you. But faith is that thing that connects me and you to God.
Yes.
Now, you know what? We have a problem because there are obstacles to faith. Did
yes.
you know that?
Yes.
There's stuff that works against your faith.
Yes, it does.
Your flesh works against your faith.
Yes.
The world works against your faith. They tell you about all kinds of other stuff that's supposed to be God.
Yes.
And they tell you, you must give equal access to people who believe all this hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call it hogwash because I'm not going to be politically correct.
That's what it is.
I'm going to be truthful.
That's what it is.
You know, and the truth is God gave his son
mm-hmm.
and configured the world around him, no one else. And I don't care what they say, they don't have a credential like that. So I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it because I can't help the folks that's lost if I don't tell them the truth.
Yes.
We need to stop the fallacy and have faith in the true God
yes.
who gave his son.
Yes.
And configured the world around him. Stop the fallacy. I'm not working with the devil to get you
yes.
condemned to hell. I'm trying to get you saved.
Model.
You're going to get saved when you walk in the truth.
Yes.
Jesus said the truth will make you free. See? And so even Israel, but these are the obstacles. Let's talk about that just a little. We'll move on. We only got a little time.
Yes.
In Deuteronomy chapter number 32, I'm going to ask the deacons to take this time and read. In fact, we'll go ahead and ask Brother Michael to read these and also a few verses in 2 Corinthians to get us into this message here today.
But Jeshurun waxed fat and wicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Mm. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abomination. Provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed him to devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. On the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith.
My.
They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, for a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundation of the mountain.
My God, that's the word of God from the old covenant to the people of God. And now for the New Testament reading, a few verses from 2 Corinthians 10:3-6.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. And we're going to take just a brief minute to speak on the subject of spiritual tools for building your faith.
Yes.
Let us have just a brief word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Father. You said if we have faith as a grain of the mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, and we could speak to that mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and that it would obey us. And so, Father, we come with the measure of faith that you've given to each one in this room.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask, God, by your Spirit, that you minister to us right now, God,
please,
the tools that are necessary for building up our faith, spiritual tools, God, that we might be stronger in faith and walk by faith and not by sight. Because we understand that that's what pleases you, oh God, is those who have faith.
Yes.
We ask this in the righteous name of Jesus Christ, your Son.
Jesus' name.
It's in his name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the product and the power of our walk with God.
Yes.
And is required to provide satisfaction to God, and must be developed and maintained as we ascend in the closeness of our relationship with God, who has loved us beyond measure in a very open, public manner.
Yes.
In the most widely known sacrificial offering in the history of mankind, the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, I want you to understand that. That's why I wrote that in there, number one, on your paper there, on your sheet.
Yes.
That faith is the product and power. In other words, it's what God produces in your life, and it empowers you to walk in a way that's pleasing to God, with God, and it is required to satisfy God.
Yes.
That's all pulled out of the Hebrews passage that says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those who come to God must believe that he is.
Must.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes,
so basically it is the product of hearing God's word.
Yes.
Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now that takes us to item number one. Hearing the preached word. You'll see that on your first sheet there.
Yes.
It's very important for you to hear the preached word.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Because when the word is preached, God is imparting faith to all those who hear it. Yes. See? And that's how folks get saved. They hear the gospel preached. They hear the good news that, you know, what I'm doing, I'm not going right. I'm breaking God's law. I don't keep it perfectly. It's not that we don't keep some of it. You know, some of the law we do pretty good on.
Yes.
We might be able to say, oh, you know, I honor my mother and my father.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to say, you know, oh, I don't lie. I don't make it a habit of lying.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to say, oh, I don't steal. I don't take other people's things. We might be able to say, oh, I don't commit adultery. I'm faithful to my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so some of those things we go on and we justify ourselves because we're pretty good in this area and that area. But somewhere on that list, you come to something on that list,
yes.
Like you put something before God.
Yeah.
So you didn't give God, or you didn't keep the Sabbath holy, as it says. In other words, you don't give God your time, a day of rest, to rest in God.
Mm-hmm.
See? Or some of those things. And I'm not suggesting that keeping a Sabbath is going to save you. I don't want
right.
to have you think that. But somewhere on that list, when you read those Ten Commandments, you'll find something there that you have violated.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's why God gave those, to show you that by yourself, keeping rules won't get you right with me.
That's right.
All that'll do is show you that you have a fault somewhere.
That's it.
You know, and I don't really believe that we can say, I know I can, I'm going to speak for myself, because I know the room gets quiet when you start talking like this. You know, I hear quietness sweep over the room, you know. But now for me, I can't say I've kept the whole list. You know, and be telling the truth.
Amen.
Because the Bible says if you say you have no sin, you lie. So it's right there. You got one right there.
Yeah.
And the truth is not in you. And not only that, it goes on to say you make God a liar.
You make God a liar. That's right.
Because God says you got sin.
Yes,
okay?
We do.
So God knew that. And when he gave that law, it was like a mirror that I could hold up and say, boy, you know what? I got something right here that shouldn't be there. Right. Let me get that off. Oh, there's something up here.
Right.
You know, it's a mirror. I can look and see. Everything that ain't right. Oh, my hair is out of order. Or whatever. You get in the mirror. How much time we spend in the mirror? You know, how much time do you spend looking in that word? So that word can show you what you look like.
See,
the word is a mirror, James says. It shows us what we're like.
Yes.
See, it exposes things about us to ourselves if we stay in it. And when it's preached, it really pricks us a little bit harder sometimes. I think that's where God said faith comes by hearing. See? And so you and I want to hear the word. That's one thing you can do. If you want to take a spiritual tool to build your faith, hear the word. Put some dates on your calendar where you're going to, like what I do all the time, I always say, I got 52 appointments to hear the word. Right up front, my 52 spots for the first Sunday through Sunday 52. Check that off. That's for God. I'm going to be there to hear the word. And then being a preacher, see, you might say, oh, you're a preacher. You have to be there. Well, you know what? When I leave here, I hear the word. I go find somebody else. There's tons of preachers that know more about the word than I do. I don't think I know everything. In fact, I know I don't know everything. And so I find somebody to listen to throughout the week. All the time, I'm putting myself under the word so I can hear the word. You know why? Because I want to have more faith.
Yes.
I want to be more faithful. I want to trust God more. I want to go another step with God. When it looks like I don't see what's going to happen when I go over here, Lord, because it's dark over here. And I can't see what to do over here. God says, take a step of faith. And you step on into the darkness.
Yeah.
And God comes through. And he's never failed me yet.
No.
Every time I've taken that step of faith, he's met me at the point of my need. So he's got a track record with me now.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says you have to walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
You can't see the way, God already knows. If he gave you an unction to move, get moving. That's all I can say. So hearing the word reinforces us. It gives us more faith. It gives us a boldness, an internal boldness to try God at what he said.
Yes.
Like God says, give the tithe. He said, you bring the tithe into the storehouse.
Amen.
He said, to see if I won't try me in this, first of all, he said.
Yes.
See if I won't open up the windows of heaven.
Yes.
And pour you out a blessing that you won't even have room to receive it. He said, try me.
Follow.
You know, are you willing to take that step? I'm going to try you, God, and see what happens. You know, and do it by faith. Don't do it with a bad attitude.
That's right. Amen.
You know, if you got a bad attitude, yeah, I don't know. God might not come through. I don't know what I'm going to do about this, that, or that. Don't do it then.
Yes.
But if you have faith, trust God.
Yes.
Amen.
And take a step of faith and see what happens.
Yes.
things that God teaches you. If he tells you, so many things you learn when you hear the word. That's why it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God said, oh, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So whatever you're going through, if you got to be carted off into an operating room to be worked on, you got to trust God. Because I'm going to be under anesthesia. I'm not going to know anything that's going on. So I got to put my life in the hands of this man, and I got to trust God that this man does what's right. See, and those kind of things, when we have to go through that, you got to trust God. You know, I think people have sometimes had problems because they didn't trust God. So you want to be able to move forward with the things of God. Hear the word. The word increases your ability to trust God even more.
Amen.
Fervent, consistent prayer is a spiritual tool. Pray and ask God. If you ain't feeling it, say, God, I ain't feeling it. You know, I don't know how you pray. Sometimes people go in with sanctimonious, colorful prayers and all that. Oh, most high God, don't come to God like that. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't see my way through it, God. Help me, Lord. Call on to God from your heart. He knows. You ain't going to try to fancy it up. God knows about you. He knows about your problems. Get real with God. Get in your secret closet, the Bible says, and pour out your soul to God. Get like Hannah. She prayed till she ran out of words. She didn't know what to say. Well, I'm just going to, I know you know what's on my mind, God. And Samuel came and said, one drunken woman, get up from there. He thought she was drunk. She said, oh, no, I'm not drunk. Samuel, I'm a woman broken in spirit. She was torn to pieces because her husband went and got some other woman having babies with somebody else because she couldn't do it. She was physically not able. And she said, Eli, the priest, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman bereft in spirit. I'm pouring out my soul before God. And he said, okay then, woman. He looked at her and discerned she was not drunk. Whatever you've asked the Lord, I pray that he grants it to you. And she got up and was refreshed. She went away from the altar refreshed. Read that in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. And she went away, and next thing you know, God blessed her womb, and she gave birth to Samuel. And he was the first prophet. He was the last of the judges, the first of the prophets. So I'm just saying, in fervent prayer, just tell God what you need. Get real with God. Go somewhere by yourself. You see, even Jesus went away up into the mountains, got away by himself. I'm leaving y'all because y'all are faithless. Got to get away from y'all and go somewhere by myself where I can get real with God. See? You got folk in your life, you can't get real with God, leave them. Go somewhere else and pray. And then come back and deal with them. See what I'm saying? So fervent, consistent prayer. The Bible says man ought to always pray and not faint. Don't give up, in other words. Don't pray once and go, it didn't happen. And lose faith. No. Fervent, consistent prayer. Number two, spiritual tool that you can use to build your faith. Routine, truthful self-examination.
All right.
Don't go around and with the attitude that you let everybody else see your spiritual persona. You want them to think you're holy, so you start them with, oh, praise God, every time you see them. Now, getting all sanctimonious. Then somebody step on your foot and it's not praise the Lord. Now it's right. No good.
Please.
You know, please. Or you see somebody with some clothes on or something that provokes you to say something awful. You know, or some kind of situation like that. So have a routine, truthful self-examination. Examine yourself, the Bible says, to see whether you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Self-examination is an important thing. And be realistic. And then when you find something there, talk it over with God. Go back to that consistent, fervent prayer. And tell God about it. Routine, individual Bible study and meditation on the truth. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Cut Dr. Phil and Oprah off.
All right.
Yonder Van Zandt. Nope. Turn that off. Don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Go get with your brothers and sisters in the word and see if you got an issue. Let them show you what God says about that. You know, and basically study the word. Find out what is God's answer for my problem. Then when you get it, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Amen. Think about what God said, his solution over and over and over, day and night.
Yes.
Meditate in his law day and night. See, when you don't let the devil slip in. The devil likes to slip in. Well, you know God ain't listening to you. Because you know what you did yesterday. And you put a guilt trip on you. You remember how you treated them back then, long ago, or whatever. He'll remind you of some sinful habit that you had in the past, or something you're struggling with. You can tell him that's covered under the blood. Jesus has covered me for that. I don't have to listen to you. And you will not have the victory. I'm already complete in him. Why? Because Colossians 2 and 10. Because I'm complete in him.
Yes, I am.
God ain't going to get you nothing. You know you ain't doing right. Well, he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Tell the devil what God said in his word and keep on stepping. Involvement and intentional edification of others' needs above your own. I think we have a problem here, church. Sometimes we have a problem, and sometimes I want to ignore your needs and consider myself about mine. See, we're selfish sometimes. I'm not thinking about the needs of somebody else, but the Bible says there's a blessing if I start watching out for my brother and my sister. See, and minister to what they need. Get your mind off your problems. Leave yours with God in the prayer closet. And go and help somebody else straighten out something in their life.
Amen.
See, their needs is more important than yours. Start getting involved in each other's life. I wish I had time, and we don't today, to tell you all the one another's that are in the Bible. One another's.
Yep.
It says, pray for one another.
Yes. Yes,
help one another. It says, minister to one another. So many times it says, one another. Building up yourselves, in the plural, on your most holy faith. We're supposed to be building up each other.
Yes.
Strengthening one another.
Yes, we are.
You know, if you got an issue, you weak, and you don't feel like praying, let me get with you. I'm going to call you. We're going to pray at 5 o'clock for 15 minutes. We're going to ask God to help you with that thing you're dealing with. See what I'm saying? So put somebody else's needs above yours. This one is another one. I was convicted by all these. Fostering a non-complaining spirit. Oh, we love to complain. Stuff's not right. We sing that, I've had some good days. And we sing we won't complain. But then when we get in certain atmospheres, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with this. And we get to complain, and we have a complaining spirit. And that complaining spirit means I don't have faith to trust that God can deal with it.
That's what it is.
So I'm not happy. I'm an unhappy camper. See? So get rid of the complaining spirit. You know how you're going to do it? Back up to this. Confess it to somebody. Confess your faults one to another.
Yes.
Pray for one another that you may be healed. James says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
You know, have that word quick on your tongue where you're ready to speak it in a moment's notice. Soon as the devil show his ugly head, bam, I'm going to cut you with the sword. You gone. You're out of my life. So fostering a non-complaining spirit. These are tools that God has given you that you can use to strengthen your faith.
Yes.
Acting in biblical love to the suppression of the flesh. Woo, that's a big one.
Yes, it is.
Now, what does that mean? That means I got issues in my flesh. I know they're not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to use God's love. The fact that he loved us, he allowed his perfect son to be mutilated for you.
Yes.
In order to free you from anything you're dealing with.
Yes.
He loved you that much. That's how much God loved you. Now, how much do you love you? So ask the question. Sometimes, you know, we love ourselves, but we think we're getting ahead sometimes with some of the fleshly indulgences that might be holding us back. But notice what Paul said. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. In other words, we're not looking to cut people's heads off literally or fight anybody or any of that. But these are divinely powered, these things that I just told you, by God, and therefore the destruction of fortresses. God says you can destroy things that are binding you and holding you by using my word and fervent prayer, confession to one another, and acting in biblical love. In other words, I can understand what you're going through because I got some stuff I'm going through. You know, and I'm not going to judge you because of what you're going through.
All right.
I'm going to shoulder up with you, and we're going to both get past this thing together. See, and so we use spiritual weapons to fight the battle that gives us more faith. So this means that there are spiritual things available to strengthen and reinforce our faith and promote growth. which are provided by God, the Holy Spirit. You know, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in you.
Yes.
And through his word, and apply the word and the Holy Spirit to your mind, which produces what is needed to bolster or strengthen our living practices toward godly outcomes rather than remaining in the bondages of the flesh or the world or the devil. See, those are the divinely powered things God is giving you. You know where you get them from? Out of his word. When you understand the word, you pray about it, the Holy Spirit is there. He'll lead you in that prayer. And he'll take you to a higher level in God by faith. Now, and we have this obstacle, and I'm going to say this, then I'm done. The Old Testament, God had blessed Israel, even Moses, the man of God. Mm-hmm. And you see here in Deuteronomy, this is what happens when you get blessed by God and you get comfortable in your blessings. And you stop having that fervent passion that you had when you first got saved. That's what happened to that church. Remember, Jesus said, you know, you have left your first love to one of the churches. He says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. When you first got saved, the relationship with God was so sweet when you heard that, boy, you know, no matter how sinful I am, God gave his son for me.
Yes.
Boy, that means everything to me. And you were a little bit more passionate about coming to church and a little bit more passionate about praying. And then when we get older, saints, we start to, like it says here, Jeshurun, wax fat. In other words, he took all the blessings and just grew fatter and fatter. And he kicked. He rebelled against God. That's what that means. He said, thou art waxing fat and art grown thick. And sometimes that meant physically. He got where they were eating good and all was well and I'm blessed. And then next thing you know, well, you know, I'm not going to go to the temple today. I'm going to go out and check my fields and check my blessing. I'm going to go wash my Rolls Royce or whatever it was. I don't know what kind of thing they did, but they waxed fat and they kicked against God. See that? And now he said, you're covered with fatness. And then they forsook God, which made them and lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. We've got God on a lower level now. Because I'm blessed. You know, our whole country is guilty of this. This country was blessed hand over fist for years by God to be the greatest nation that ever existed in the history of time. You know what? 50 years ago, we don't need you now, God. We got telephone. We got radio. We have indoor plumbing. We don't have to use our house no more. You know? And we have cars and rocket ships and aircraft and all that. So we waxed fat and kicked against God. Happened to Israel, same thing. And they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Now what happened? Now you let all this stuff I blessed you with be your God instead of me. That's what happened to Israel. They provoked God to jealousy with strange gods and with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils and not to God. That's what all the other so-called gods are, is images of Satan in the world coming against you to separate your relationship with God. And he says, gods to whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. They weren't sticking to that old-time religion.
All right.
Of the rock that begot you. In other words, when you were born again, you forgot about that. And now you are unmindful and have forgotten God that formed you. You had to be born again. That's what that formed means. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. Because provoking of his sons and his daughters, you're ruining the next generation with your bad attitudes. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see their end, what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation. In other words, they're running on their own steam. Children in whom there is, notice this, no faith.
No faith.
Woo! You know what? No faith. You ain't thinking about God. You running on your own.
Wow.
I'm running on my own steam. I don't have faith in God anymore. I don't need it. I've got blessings. Mm-hmm. See that? And they moved me to jealousy, it says here, with that which was not God, and they have provoked me to anger with their vanities, that stuff that's going to come to naught. The reason it's vanity, Solomon said everything is vanity.
Yes.
Why? Because I can stack stuff up to the moon. And when I go in the box without Jesus, what good is it? What good is it?
No.
Suppose I own all the banks in the United States or the world. Would that do me any good when they shut that lid?
Nope. Nope.
You know what you need? The Lord.
Yes.
You need Jesus Christ. He's the only one got out of the grave. He should be at the center of your focus and your life.
Yes.
The stuff he blessed you with, that's icing on the cake. But don't go and worship it and turn it into God and forget about the God who bought you. See that? And notice what he says here. I'll move on. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. He says, since the Jews rejected me when I came, go unto the Gentiles. There it is, a prophecy right there in Deuteronomy. Now, I'm going to go to the Gentiles who haven't been thinking about me. Because the people I blessed and raised have forgotten me.
Yes.
They kicked me to the curb. And they waxed fat and they rebelled against me. See that?
Yes.
For a fire is kindled in my anger, and it shall burn to the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. You don't want God to be mad at you, do you?
Amen.
See that? So what I want you to see is that as it was the course of Israel to fall or fail to benefit from their special relationship with God because of their addictions to the things with which God blessed them, rather than their continuation of growing in pursuit of God's face rather than his hand, they were taking everything from his hand, but they were not in his face like they used to be. So it is with the modern church, excluding the remnant. There's a remnant of people who continue to trust God, but the modern church is beginning to wax fat and kick against God. And it's also following the same path which brought about the demise of Israel. And if the spiritual tools for God has provided to provide fail to be utilized, in other words, unless we do the things God has prescribed, many will also be consumed in God's wrath rather than being embraced in his blessings, his best blessings. God has great blessings for you.
Yes.
And Paul says, remember to use the spiritual weapons that you have. You can take every thought in obedience to Christ.
Model.
If you focus your mind on it, sometimes we forget about it. We get blessed and forget where we came
Amen.
From.
Yes, we
Amen.
Do.
But God wants you to continue where you started.
Amen.
Go back to the beginning. Go back and do the first works, he said, to the early church. And if you're not saved, we want to get you started today. We'd like to get you started. If you're not saved, come to the Lord right now. He has given his son his history. It's not just what the Bible says. It's history.
Yes.
God has wrapped the world around Jesus Christ. No one can deny it. I don't care what they say.
Yes.
And the only thing you can see, I mean, you're in the real world, in your real life.
Yes.
God is showing you that his son is the center of time. He loves you just like you are. That's why he came. That's why he lived. That's why he paid the bill entirely all by himself. So that whosoever believes in him, John 3:16 says, should not perish but have everlasting life. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't want to condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved, John 3:17 says. So he wants you to be saved. But he will not do it against your will. So if you're not saved, and you've heard the gospel today, that's for sure. The angels in heaven know you've heard the gospel today. God loves you just like you are.
Amen.
And if you won't accept him, then that's up to you. That's between you and him. Because he's accepting you already. And he gave the church the duty and it's also a privilege to preach. To let people know God loves you just like you are. Whatever you're dealing with, he can fix it.
Yes, he can.
And he wants to fix it, but he won't do it against your will. So he'd like you to be saved. If you're here today and you are not saved, we give you that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you may come at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
my hand. While I run this race,
oh,
Lord, my hand while I run this race, Lord, my hand while I run this race. Oh, I don't want to run this race in vain.
Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Now, we also like to offer you the opportunity to be a member. If you're already here with Christian experience and you would like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we give you that opportunity to come at this time and make that known to the congregation. We'd love to have you as a member. Amen. We will make sure we exercise those spiritual tools so that they're available at your disposal. to grow your faith. Amen. We practice that. Giving God praise, that's another one. That's not a complete list, let me say. I just want to give you a few things right there. Seven things on the list that you can do that will press you closer to the Lord. Of course, praise is always a great thing. In all things, the Bible says, give thanks. Be thankful for everything. We can go on and on and on. The word is filled with admonitions of spiritual tools that you can use to build your faith. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room, and we have done as God commands. Amen. We pray that you did receive a good word, those of you who are here, to bless you and take you in another notch higher in the Lord. Amen.